T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Johnny Mack hanging with you on a Monday night here on The Fan, as has been the case for the last several days, and I'm not sure exactly when it will come to an end. The Astros and the mess that they're in is the biggest conversation in sports, but we're actually going to get preseason. Maybe that's when it's going to end, on Saturday, when we actually get some spring training games under our belt. I want to talk about all things MLB with our next guest. He is the lead Major League Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. Like me, he is a part-time host on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. Scott Millett joins me here on The Fan. How are you tonight, Scotty?
I'm good, Jody. It's one of those Florida days. I was telling you, I was started over in West Palm Beach. I was with the Astros most of the day for, I don't know, the third or fourth time in the last 4 days or 5 days, and finished up there and then embarked on the cross Florida drive through Yeehaw Junction.
I've done Yeehaw Junction too many times in my life.
Yeah, so we, a little stop for dinner, close to 4 hours on the road, just pulling into the hotel in Tampa for the evening.
All right, well, let's get some Z's because we'll know you're out finding out what the Yankees have to say about the Astros tomorrow. They've already had some to say. I'm sure you'll get more out of them tomorrow. But as you mentioned, you've spent the last couple of days in Astro camp. When exactly is the next national media availability for Jim Crane? 2022 or 2023?
Even that should be too soon. I don't understand this whole thing. I mean, there was no need for him to speak at last Thursday's press conference. I mean, we already heard from him right after the MLB punishments came down, when he came out in the press conference in Houston and said, I'm going to double down on MLB suspending my manager and general manager. I just fired them. We heard from him then. We heard from him, through the Houston media when he spoke at FanFest. And that in Houston, that's when he said, Altuve and Bregman didn't come off looking good at all at the FanFest. And he said, well, there's going to be a full team apology at spring training. And, so a lot of us, I kind of figured I'd get to Houston's camp and some of the players would finally talk. We'd hear from them and that'd be that. But they had a formal press conference instead, and it was the classic trying to mitigate the damage. They basically lit a match to the damage. I mean, Jim Crane will not take response. He's basically not accountable. He acts like I didn't know anything, which is really hard to believe. You talk to anybody in baseball with any team in baseball, I mean, executive branch, and they all roll their eyes. There's like, if it was my team, I would have known what was going on. Nobody believes him. And, as I said, Jody, it's become not even so much a train wreck in Houston as a crane wreck.
That's a good way to look at it. Scotty Miller, our guest here on The Fan. Do you believe that he was the one who set the agenda for what the players then had to say? As you mentioned, he had previewed it as saying it would be a team apology. If it was an apology, it was half-hearted from the star players who were made available to the media. Did he dictate terms? I don't know who else would, since the two main culprits were already given their walking papers, with the manager and the general manager having been fired. Who do you think? Jim Crane took care of himself, I'm sure. He said what he wanted to say. But who do you think advised the players as to what to say going forward?
Nobody knows for sure. There was a meeting the night before, last Wednesday evening, Jim Crane and the veteran players, Bregman, Altuve, a number of players. Dusty Baker was there, the new manager, the media relations people, and the vice president of communications. And the word is that I hear that there was a crisis management PR person that was called in. if that's the case, then the Astros whiffed on that one too, because they clearly didn't hire the right crisis management guy or gal. So it's just inexplicable. I mean, this organization has just swung and missed repeatedly in the public relations and decent human being type categories from last summer. I mean, there was an incident, which I'm sure you remember, during the season last year when Houston hosted the Detroit Tigers, and a Tigers writer went to go over to talk to Justin Verlander, and apparently the two of them had been feuding for a long time. So Verlander said he wasn't going to speak with him, and the Astros held the Tigers reporter out of the clubhouse, which is against the collective bargaining association. If a guy has a baseball writer's card, you can't bar him from the clubhouse. But they did, and then came the postseason, and then came the awful night when they clinched, and the now ex-assistant GM Taubman,
right,
you know, screamed at those female reporters. And then the PR move there was that night the Astros issued a statement basically saying Sports Illustrated was making things up, that this didn't happen. And it took, about an hour for all kinds of writers who witnessed it in the clubhouse to start tweeting, wait a minute, I saw this. They're not making it up. I witnessed it. It happened. And, you know, then we get onto the scandal, and it's just been, I mean, it's just inexplicable how a major league ball club has such minor league relations with people.
So the organization is a stone cold mess from what you're saying, and I tend to agree with you. Is Dusty Baker the right guy to try and calm the waters with this team? Because at some point, opening day is going to roll around, and they still got a ton of talent on that team, and I don't know who's going to pick them to win that division or not win that division or compete for a championship, but we know they've still got a very talented roster. Someone's got to calm the storm waters. Is Dusty the right guy to try and do it?
You know, I think he's as good as anybody, Jody, in terms of, you know, he's a player's manager, as we all know, we all hear. He's a cool customer. He's been through so much as a player and as a manager over several decades. I think, you know, he's popular among the media. And I think to a degree that's going to help some, because, you know, maybe it'll mitigate some of the sharp edges at times that the media may have out for Houston. And I think within the club, he's, you know, the players are all going to like him and play for him. So, in terms of a bad situation, I think Dusty's probably about as good as you could do right now.
All right, I'll give you the two hypothetical bookends to this. I know the answer is probably somewhere in the middle, but I'm going to ask you which end it falls closer to. This could go one of two ways. Either that this can be a rallying cry and they could all come together and us against the world mentality, and it could actually raise their tightness and comfort level in the clubhouse and pulling one for all for one. Or there are guys that were on this team in 2007 who won a World Series. There are now guys on this team who were there in 2008 when they probably cheated, but it's not on record that they did, and 2009 where everyone claims they didn't cheat, but some are still debating that and don't believe them when they say it. But there are guys that have been here for varying lengths on this team. There may be some infighting because of that. The new guys who are just showing up and they're getting painted with those same broad brush strokes of the Astros are the cheatingest organization in the history of sports, and it could divide the team. Which is the more likely scenario?
I don't think it's going to divide the team. This is a close-knit group. They played together for several years now, Altuve, Correa, Springer. I think we saw evidence of that just yesterday when Correa took the offensive and spoke forcefully, saying, look, Jose Altuve was not involved in this. He didn't have a buzzer. He didn't want the trash cans banging for him. And he didn't, you know, on and on. That's, I think, an example of how the Astros are going to stay close together. But now, that said, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win. First off, aside from the cheating scandal, it's easy to forget this because we're so locked in on that cheating scandal. But, you know, people may remember they lost Garrett Cole. That's 20 wins or so right out of the rotation from last year. I mean, he had such a fantastic year. That's a huge loss, and I don't see anybody that's going to step up and have any kind of year near that. So there's that. And I think this, I think they'll stay together. But again, I don't know that it means they're going to win because not only is there the loss of Cole, but, you know, this scandal, I don't think we're not going to hear the end of it for a long time. And I, the way I see it, and it's so hard to predict because it's all unprecedented, but I think we see it raging right now. And I think whenever it quiets down, whether it's a week from now, 2 weeks from now, maybe when games start, maybe not, I think it'll quiet down, but only for a little bit. And then something else is going to happen, whether it's another revelation of something or the first time an Astro hitter gets hit with a pitch, everybody's going to jump on that. Maybe it'll be intentional. Maybe it won't be. Even if it's not intentional, it's going to cause a huge flashpoint again. And I think these scars, the Band-Aids are going to keep getting ripped off the wound and, you know, rather than allowing the wound to scab over. And the other thing is, you know, when we get going, if Bregman or Altuve or whoever it is, they fall into an 0 for 10, 0 for 12 skid, all they're going to hear about is, well, yeah, of course, you know, you don't know what's coming. You don't know what pitches are coming and you don't play as well. Duh. So that's, they're going to have more mental toughness than maybe any team in history, I think, this year.
Scotty Miller from Bleacher Report, our guest here on The Fan. Rob Manfred was the guy who had to handle this, deal with this, came down with the punishment he did. He's been worldly critiqued throughout basically all of baseball, players, media members, fans. Everyone thinks that he cut too sweetheart a deal with the Astros, that the punishment was not enough and didn't fit the crime. I'm now seeing, again, fans, media members, players who want to see more happen, who think that Rob Manfred can go back to the drawing board and redo his punishment. I've tried over the last several days on the air to say that not only won't happen, it can't happen. He has to have something else. There has to be another smoking gun here for him to revisit this. Is there one out there to be had?
It doesn't seem to be. A couple things, Jody. One, as you saw yesterday at his press availability in Northport, Florida, to kick off spring training, regarding the buzzer thing, he admitted, he said, we did not find any evidence that the Astros wore any kind of wearable technology like buzzers. But he said, I cannot sit here today and tell you with 100% certainty that they didn't do it. I mean, that's an extraordinary statement for the commissioner of the game to say our investigation showed this, but not this, and, you know, case closed. I mean, to admit that, well, you know, we didn't find anything, but we can't be 100% certain. Number one, that just opens the door to more speculation. You know, number two, who knows what else may or may not come out. I think it's going to be a very uncomfortable year for the commissioner because, you know, look, the Astros are not the only team that was using digital, the dark arts, so to speak. I think they probably were the poster children for it. They perfected it. They took it to another level. But there's been too many whispers around the game the last 3 years or so that other team, you know, a handful of other teams were suspected of doing it too. So the only difference is there's only one whistleblower, so to speak. That's Mike Fiers, who played with the Astros and said, this is what we did. Unless another whistleblower steps up, and it seems highly unlikely, you know, I don't know that we're going to all of a sudden find out, you know what, guess what, the Dodgers were doing this or the Brewers were doing that. So that, all that stuff still floating out there, you know, wondering, to your point, is something else going to be revealed or not? The other thing, again, from that press briefing yesterday, Justin Turner out in Los Angeles' camp just shredded the commissioner today. And, you know, especially over the part, and I'm sure Rob Manfred regrets this, and he probably regretted it as soon as he said it, when he mentioned, referred to the commissioner's trophy, the World Series trophy, as a piece of metal. You know, I mean, Justin Turner said, you know, he mocked him for that and said the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it has the commissioner's name on it. And that was, I mean, that was, oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, there's, so, you know, I could probably keep wandering on for the next hour on all this, but the other thing is, I'm with you. There's no way Manfred and baseball can issue the punishments, issue the disciplinary measures that they did, and then bow to public pressure or pressure from players or within the game and go back in and do a redo and make it harder, because then he will not look like a leader at all. He will look like he can be bullied and pushed around by anybody. So to your point, unless there's another huge smoking gun, further discipline is not going to happen.
All right. So you already made your way across the state with a UR Junction stop and have landed in Tampa. You're going to the Yankee camp tomorrow. They've already had some choice things to say. They will be the top competition in the American League along with the Astros. They're teams one and two, at least on paper, as of right now. But the Yankees were scheduled to be team one. They ended up with Gerrit Cole. They were that close to the Astros last year, and they got the big fish that the Astros didn't. So they're coming in as the prohibitive favorite. Do they actually derive a benefit from not being the big, bad, overspending, monolith Yankees? That they're not the villain of baseball this year? The Astros still are?
Yeah, they may. It can't hurt, put it that way. I mean, I don't know. I mean, New York has its whole other sort of issues going on where the Yankees kind of stand alone in terms of a stature in the game as a marquee franchise, the whole New York media thing. You know, I don't know how being looked at as the villain from outside of the New York market, whether that affects them much or not. I think they have so much going on within New York that they don't really have time to worry much about outside noise. But that said, you know, it certainly can't hurt that everybody looks at the Astros as the villains. And I'll tell you what, I said this back in 2001, after, you know, when we were all in shock and mourning after the, you know, the horrific 9/11 attacks, the World Series that year, Yankees Diamondbacks, it was like, I remember covering that and thinking, this is the first time that, like, most of the country is actually rooting for the Yankees. And when they play Houston this year, under far, far different circumstances, but this might be the first time since then that the Yankees have far more people in their corner than do the Astros or anybody else.
And I can tell you exactly what Yankee fans will say. We don't need your help. We don't want your help. Get off our bandwagon. That's okay. We've been here forever. I know Yankee fans pretty well doing shows here on The Fan. Scotty, great stuff. Get a good night's sleep. Have a good time at Yankee camp tomorrow. We'll touch base again before the season gets underway.
I always enjoy talking baseball with you, my friend. Take
my
care,
friend, Jeremy. Scotty Miller from Bleacher Report, SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.